and see if this works. Anybody tell me what that is? What's that? Baby something. Baby eaglet. That's exactly what it is. I'm going to tell you an interesting fact about the eagle here. When I worked for the Forest Service out on the Mount Hood National Forest as a wildlife biologist, we had several different eagle nest sites. And with the Fish and Wildlife Service that we worked along with, they coordinated because technically they were over them, but they were on the National Forest. They were extremely guarded and protected as far as people coming around. There was one particular nest we guarded, or that we usually watched out for at this particular campground in Lake, because there was a lot of tourists and people coming in. So we always had a lot of law enforcement in that particular area, especially fish and game and stuff that would watch just because of the protection that eagles were afforded. Kind of give you an idea of how they're protected in relation to the Bald Eagle and the Golden Eagle Protection Act that was enacted back in the 40s. Even though the eagle has been delisted, it's still under the Protected Species Act, which means it's still afforded basically every opportunity that's listed under the Protection Act if it were to be listed as an endangered species. So with that comes several different fines. So this law, passed in 1940, provides protection for the bald eagle as well as the golden eagle by prohibiting the take, possession, sale, purchase, barter, offer to sell, purchase, transport, export, import, or any bald or golden eagle, alive or dead. So if you get caught with a dead eagle, even a golden eagle, including any part of the nest, the egg, unless it's allowed by a permit, and generally that's only given to Native Americans. So unless you have some type of Native American background, you're not going to receive this. So if you're caught with any of these, what's that? Yeah, I mean, you can't even have a feather, any part of the animal whatsoever, even from their nest, if it's considered an eagle's nest. So let me tell you about some civil penalties under this. For violating provisions of the Protection Act are a maximum fine of $5,000 or a year imprisonment, or with a fine of $10,000 and not more than 2 years in prison for a second conviction. But if it's ruled to be a felony conviction, which depending on the severity, if you've killed it, if it's malicious intent or any of those things, carry a maximum fine of $250,000 or 2 years in prison. Okay? This is not afforded that same protection. You think maybe we've got our priorities mixed up? So we can look at a bald eagle, which is obviously the symbol of the United States, or a golden eagle. You look at these majestic birds, and you think, certainly, you know, I've working in that field, and that certain animals need to be protected, especially individuals out there. But it's interesting to me that we put more emphasis on protecting animals than we do on protected human beings. And there's a problem with that. Yes, sir. Oh, you're talking about like as far as what they're using for, yeah. No. Yeah. In relation to if it's natural causes, this means as far as somebody going in and killing or taking an egg or malicious intent in relation to that. Because I mean, when I flew, we hit birds all the time, so. And it's not malicious in that nature. But just looking at this, when you understand what's afforded protection and what's afforded, when we look at what should be protected, we don't give the same preference to an unborn child. But it's interesting, there's also some laws on the books, if you're not aware. North Carolina is one of those laws. If you're driving and let's say a drunk driver hits a mother who's pregnant and kills both the mother and the child, it's considered double homicide. But if the baby's aborted, it's not considered homicide. Certain states, up to about 38 states, allow abortion up to a certain gestation period, a number of weeks. I think most of them are 20 weeks, depending on the state. You can get online and you can look, and every state's completely different. North Carolina is, I think, 20 weeks. Up to that point, anything after has to be only can be granted by a judge if it's based on if it's going to be something that's going to hurt the mother or harm the mother, or maybe the baby or both. So it has to go before a judge or a lawyer if that's going to be granted. Just to give me some statistics here. Since Roe versus Wade in 1973, same year I was born, there's been almost 59 million abortions in the United States alone. Since 1980, there's been 1.4 billion abortions worldwide. Just as of today, you can go to, there's a website that I found that counts this stuff. As of this afternoon when I left, there were 1,200 abortions performed in the United States alone. Today, 1,200 abortions. So when you think about those statistics, what does that tell you about our culture and in the nation in which we live today concerning when you think about how important human life is? So let me preface this tonight. So when you think about, Can you advance? My clicker died. Can you click me just one more? There's just one more, two more slides. So abortion, whose choice is it? And when you think about that, that's the question that's really being asked in the United States. And it comes down to that question. Whose choice is it? What's that? The mother's choice? Anybody else?
Not the babies.
Not the babies? That's right. Anybody else? The doctor? Okay. Well, that's the question we want to ask tonight. When you think about abortion in relation to the statistics that I gave you, in relation to kind of how off-kilter our really moral issues are today when we think about the eagle and how they're protected, but how an unborn child is not afforded the same protection rights, or how we're skewed in relation to an unborn child being killed and how somebody can be charged with double homicide, yet a mother can take the life of a baby before 20 weeks and it be okay. But to call abortion a controversial issue in the United States today is probably an understatement, isn't it? You know, Cody made a point before we'd walked in because we're asked me what we were talking about in relation, is it a political issue and how we vote? You know, and not to get into the political aspect of it because we're going to talk about right or wrong today and we want to look at it from the biblical aspect. But it's now been almost 45 years since the Supreme Court passed the Roe versus Wade Abortion Act. In the intervening years, I think the controversy has probably escalated, especially as you've seen the women's movement really kind of propelled in the last 2 years, really pushed into society and equal rights and some of these other things. But when you look at it from the aspect of, is it taking a life or is it not taking a life? So this is the question I've always asked. If it's not alive, then why do you have to kill it? That's the question I always ask anybody who's for abortion. And it should be the mother's right to choose, is what society says. So let's look at a couple of things in the way society or some of the arguments come up, kind of to Cody's point, politically speaking, that are brought about and that are usually pushed forward in agendas of whether or not it's going to be legalized, if it's going to go state by state, if it's going to be publicly funded, all of these different issues and aspects that come up today with the idea of what abortion is. For example, a lot of people consider abortions a civil right issue. Why do you think that is? Okay. Robert says that's what we've been told. Why would it be a civil rights issue? To what extent can the federal government tell anybody what they can or can't do with their own body? Were you going to say something? Oh. Right. So, you know, maybe it makes a great point there in relation to by telling somebody they can't do that, then is that infringing on somebody's civil liberties of what they then can do with their body? Well, I mean, you get into the aspect of drug use. The government dictates how and what kind of drugs we take, don't they? They dictate how they're issued to us, how many we can take, illegal drugs, all of those things. They're telling us what we can and can't do or digest or put into our own bodies. So in relation to whether or not it's going to be a civil rights issue is one question we have to think about. You know, is outlawing abortion a transgression of women's rights? Okay, here's the next issue. A lot of people think abortion as primarily an ecological issue. And what I mean by that is with our planet being threatened by overpopulation, a family or a mother should be able to choose, especially, and we'll get into economics here in just a minute, as not to get into the overpopulation aspect of things. China does this. They're only allowed to have one child, I think, because they get into the issue of overpopulation and looking at ecology and some of those other things. Some look at it as an economic issue because some families simply cannot afford to have another child or to have the first child or whatever the case is. So you look at ecological, you look at civil rights, you look at economics. Some also look at it as a family issue. Does a woman have a right to have an abortion if her husband is against it? Those cases have actually been taken to court where she didn't want to have a child. She had a career. She got pregnant. The husband said, but we need to have this baby because I want to have a child. So they actually went to court against each other. Now, there's a marriage for you, right? But over the issue, should the husband, because he is technically the biological father and he had a hand in this, should he have a right to say, no, I want to have this child, as opposed to telling a woman what she can or can't do with her body? You know, should parental consent be given or have to be required for underage girls to have an abortion? And what if there's going to be retaliation by the parents to the underage girl because they're asked first whether or not she can have an abortion? So is it a family issue? Okay. What about a health issue? So this is probably the final view when you think about this aspect. Would it be a health issue in relation to if it's going to endanger the mother's life? Should then she be allowed to have an abortion? Okay, so these are all questions that we want to kind of look at tonight, okay, and talk about them biblically speaking. We go to the next slide there for me, please. So really, you know, you say all these questions simply, I don't think, get to the heart of the problem, though, when you think about it. And the reason I say that is because it's not a civil rights issue, it's not a feminist issue, it's not an ecological issue, it's not an economy issue, it's not a health issue. The heart of the problem is whether or not is it a human issue. And when you look at it from the standpoint of labeling what the child is, from the aspect of how God says it, yes or no, is it a human being? Because that's what you really have to look at. So, first let's talk about the issue of abortion as a matter of convenience, because really this is what it boils down to in society today. Ever heard of the morning after pill? Is that abortion? That's a question, right? But it's so early in the process, and just in case she did get pregnant, let's just play it safe. But really, the pill that you're taking is to make sure that there's not going to be a baby. So, is it a matter of convenience in relation to the need to understand really is whether or not legalized abortion should be allowed to save the life of a mother? Should that be brought up? In some states, like I said, usually if it's going to endanger the life of the mother, most doctors can make that call. You can in North Carolina, I think, as far as I remember reading. But if it's going to endanger the life to a certain point, but I've also read cases too as I was getting ready for this lesson where some mothers were so far along that they would rather the child be born and they die because of complications with the birth. So is that a choice a mother should be allowed to make? What about if, concerning a matter of convenience, if a woman, heaven forbid, is raped, should the child then be aborted? I mean, these are pretty difficult issues, right? But really, when you think about the matter of convenience, a lot of these fundamental questions, the real issue is whether or not a woman should be allowed to have an abortion for any reason she chooses, even for a matter of convenience. So what do you think? What's that? Jack says no. Anybody else? Or nobody want to touch it? It's a hot button topic, isn't it? Go ahead, Jason. Right. Sure. So responsibility too, right? Responsibility. When you think about convenience in relation to abortion and some of the issues I read concerning court cases where they wanted to get an abortion, where they thought about having, then changed their mind later, career goals, it's going to interfere with my career. Freedom, it's going to limit, you know, how free I can be in relation to how I want to live. It's going to place a strain on my budget, or it's going to be a source of embarrassment. Because I got pregnant out of wedlock, or I got pregnant as a teenager, whatever the case might be. So therefore, because of these things, they become legal issues as to whether or not abortion can be a matter of convenience, something that's being argued at this current time in relation to abortion. This is still an ongoing issue in courts. It's not something that's died down. And each state has its own regulations and laws by which they can govern these things. There are some states, I think New Mexico is one, where they said hands off. We're not going to touch it, do whatever you want. So when you think about that, New Mexico also has an issue with abortions that endanger because they're illegal and they're not done in correct situations and things like that. So it puts the mother at risk and some other complications like that. But when you think about the Roe versus Wade with over 59 million babies that have died due to various abortions, that means abortion is the leading cause of death. Not heart attack, not drunk driving, not the Iraqi war. Abortion, the leading cause of death. 59 million babies in 44 years, 1.4 billion babies in 37 years, 38 years now. 1.4 billion. Think about that for a minute. Concerning our population in the world that we live today. Go ahead. Sure. Absolutely. Again, our morals are skewed. When you think about morality in relation to that, but he makes a good point. You know, if babies were dying because of malaria or whatever else, we would dump billions and billions of dollars into the system to make sure we stopped whatever that disease was. Like, what was this disease a few years ago down in Florida? What was that called? Zika virus. Thank you. I mean, putting all kind of money in to make sure because the babies were being born with abnormalities. Isaiah, were you going to say something? Well, that's what we're going to get into here in just a second. So it's a good question. David, go ahead. She did. Before she died, she became a quote-unquote Christian. Yeah. Yeah, we'll talk about that in just... Mm-hmm. Jack? Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, the outcry in favor of abortion on demand, I don't think it's primarily about matters of life and death, but about matters of choice. That's really what it comes down to, is nobody wants to be told what they can or cannot do with their own bodies. You get into a whole other issue there then too, Robert. Sure, yeah, I'd agree with that. Hit the next one there for me, Forrest. Thinking there's another issue of responsible sexuality in relation to, and you think about society and obviously how it is today even compared to when I was growing up, and you look at some of the television shows on TV, you know, 16 and pregnant on MTV, and they glorify these things as if it's okay and out of wedlock. So you look at some of the moral issues behind this, in relation to, again, it goes back to personal choice, and if I choose to be promiscuous in my life before I get married and the choices that I make, therefore sexually it's my choice to do these things, or if I choose to get somebody pregnant, and because of those consequences I should also have the choice to make sure that it's not going to impede on my life. That's what it comes down to, the responsibility issue of sexuality. What'd you say? What's that? Yeah, yeah. The need for sexual responsibility, again, too, when you think about it, doesn't rest with the woman alone. You know, again, this goes both ways in relation to the responsibility aspect of it, too. But finally, hit the last one for me, Forrest. This is really what we want to focus on. Is it right? You can look at all of these different definitions, and you can look at all of the reasons that people bring before judges and argue politically speaking, economic, ecologically, civil rights, all of those issues. The core issue is it right for any reason at all? the answer is no. And as harsh as we think of some of the things that David said and Jack said in relation to a woman being raped and all of those other things, you get down to the heartbeat of it all, it's taking a human life. It comes down to responsibility like Jason said, but it comes down to first and foremost of looking at the creation of which God has given and how He's made life and that we're made in His image. And because we have to take responsibility for our actions, unfortunately people say, it's my life and I'm going to live it my way, whether there's a God or not, as Robert said. So, in other words, is it really our choice to decide? That's what it comes down to. Kurt? Sure, yeah, absolutely it's innocent. Yeah. You know, we don't have the luxury of simply declaring abortion to be a matter of choice. That's not our choice. And when you think about here's an innocent life, as Kurt said there too, when you think about the innocent life that's being born that has no choice of whether or not it's going to live, you take away that choice and you put judge, executioner, and jury in the person's hands of whether or not they want to have this child, and they simply look at it as if the life means nothing. So society has gotten down to the point with 1.4 billion babies being killed to say that life means absolutely nothing. It's really what it boils down to. Life is not that precious, is what our society says. And you should be able to walk into any clinic or walk up to any CVS pharmacy and buy this pill and just terminate your sexual responsibility and do whatever you please. No mind the fact that you're killing something. And it should be okay. Somebody read Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16. The Bible does not discuss abortion per se. I don't think that was an issue back then, certainly like it is now, but it lays down principles that clearly show that abortion is not God's choice. And again, going back to whose choice is it? It's God's choice, right? It's not our choice, it's God's choice. Somebody read Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16. So when is it considered life for a child? From the very beginning, right? Think about Jacob and Esau. Somebody read Genesis 25, verses 21 through 23. So what were they referred to then again as they were in the womb? Not an it, right? Two nations, children. They weren't referred to as it or something that's not alive. They were referred to as children. Same way you look at Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 44. This speaks of the unborn John the Baptizer. Luke 1, verse 39 through 44. The Greek word here, brephos, is the word infant. It's the exact same word that's used in Luke chapter 2 to refer to the baby Jesus. Exact same word. So what do you think the correlation here then is? Whether the child, what's that? Yeah, yeah. Cody said in or out, it's a baby, right? Whether it's unborn or whether it's born. So the Greek says it's still an infant, it's still a child, it's still alive. Go ahead, Jeff. Sure, absolutely. From the moment of conception is really when life begins, right? I'm certainly no doctor or no nurse to get into the specifics as far as in relation to, and I know we have some medical folks and some NICU and things like that, folks that work with babies to go all the way back, but you think about it as far as in relation to what the Bible says, it starts at conception. Robert, you were to say something? Sure. Somebody read, look at Psalm chapter 8. The Bible gives a profound respect for human life, and that conception is part of the ongoing creative activity of God. Psalm chapter 8. Read those, I think just 9 verses. So there's a lot of people today that say because abortion is not specifically mentioned in the Bible and it's not told specifically in the Bible that abortion is wrong, therefore it's my choice to make that. What do you say to those people? Robert said, "Thou shalt not kill." Larissa passed me a card here, which this I forgot my basic biology, but you can't have cell division without life. That's where it starts, right? At conception, that child is beginning its process of when it's going to be born, but all of the other things. That, Dan, were you going to say something? Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. Created in his own image, right? And that goes all the way back not only to the creation, but also Genesis chapter 4 with Adam and Eve conceiving Cain and Floyd, what were you say? And you know, and that's a great point. How many times do you read in the Old Testament where they're referred to as your children's children, or your generation before, or the generation to come needs to be taught? So obviously showing the importance of that generation in life there. I want to leave you this last thing. I know we've only got a few minutes for class. I actually talked to somebody, this was several years ago, had talked to somebody who didn't have an issue with abortion and some of the other things. So I said, I want you to go home and I want you to Google something. And I want you to watch this video, and I want you to tell me, after you watch this video, if you're okay with abortion in any shape or form, no matter what method they use concerning the abortion. So I told him, and maybe you've seen the video, and maybe you haven't. If you have not, I would suggest watching it, because it will punch you in the gut and knock your wind out. It's called the silent scream. Anybody ever heard of the silent scream? If you have not, what this video is, was a doctor that had performed hundreds of abortions prior to this. But this was the time when technology was coming in to where they could put cameras in to look at things and obviously explore and do different types of surgery. So he said, I want to film this abortion because I want to see what's technically taking place with this child when this abortion is in the process. And I think the baby was about 17, 18 weeks along. So they inserted the camera, and this type of abortion was basically where they put acid in and they burn the baby alive. So as they inserted this camera and they put this long needle in and they go about the abortion process of putting in this chemical that burns the baby alive, you could literally see the child screaming silently, literally like it was screaming and crying. So after this doctor saw this abortion, he stopped doing abortions altogether. After he saw what he had done, and after he saw all the pain he'd probably caused and finally realizing how horrible it was to literally sit there and watch him kill a human being, he said no more. So if you ever want to convince somebody concerning abortion, have them Google the silent scream and then tell you whether or not abortion should be legalized or not, or whether it should be okay, or whether it's killing a child or not. The core issue goes back, is it right or is it wrong? It's wrong. It goes back to whose choice is it? It's God's choice. God said all of his babies are created perfect and right. And that's his choice. Even some of the choices that go back is whether the child's going to be healthy, are there going to be any developmental issues? All of these things are not for us to decide. All of that is for God to decide. And I've seen some individuals that are blessed with special needs babies that said that was the greatest blessing. So it's not our choice. It's God's choice. And the Bible says, thou shalt not kill. I don't see it gets any simpler than that. Any more questions or comments? All right. Thank you for your time.